This show was first broadcast on Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. For more information on our lineup of shows and the role we play in the media, visit freefm.org.nz.
Greetings, I am Barry. If you're searching for answers, spiritual help, clairvoyant readings, healings, crystals, books, incense, or jewellery, you need to go to Infinity, Hamilton Spiritual Centre, in the new premises at 550 Anglesey Street, or you can phone us on 838 1838. This is your link between this life and the next. Become the change the world needs today. Greetings, I am Barry. This is The Voice Within for another week. Since the start of 2024, everybody seems to be saying that this is the year when things are going to change. Now, I've got some more information that's come through this week. The first thing, it starts off with a message from Lee Harris. This is a very important time on Earth, and that is why you have some incredible souls who have chosen to incarnate at this time and who have come back with a powerhouse of knowledge and energy. Many of the souls who are incarnate on Earth right now, including many people who are engaging with this material, have a great deal of beings working with them, in many cases, more beings than ever before in any other lifetime, because this is a very critical chapter for Earth's consciousness. It will make it, but what's more important is how quickly and easily it makes it, and how little damage is possible. That is why so many beings are focused on helping to midwife Earth through this precarious, but at the same time, incredible time of birthing a new potential on Earth that pertains to the consciousness of the universe as a whole. So that was Lee Harris. Now this is a Shaolin master called Shi Heng Yi. He is talking to Jordan Mulligan, and he's predicting a change is coming, a new era.
According to Master Shi Heng Yi, the world as we know it is coming to an end, and a new era is coming. Today in this conversation with Master Shi Heng Yi, in an unseen interview, we talk about that exact theory and how we can use it to better our lives and have a better perspective going in to this new era.
Just for people who don't know, just introduce yourself and what you do.
So my name is Shi Heng Yi. I'm the leading headmaster of the Shaolin Temple Europe. And I've spent this year 36 years along the way of using the Chinese martial art called Kung Fu. It has always been a part of my life. And while growing up and practicing for myself, I just realized that the mental states that you are going through when you are practicing all of these arts, I think these are universal characteristics of everything that a human, let's say, possesses. Every human has these character traits. The only question is if you know about them and if you are able also to cultivate them. And in the moment where you start really investing your time to look inside yourself, meaning take the time and figure out, first of all, who are you really? What is it that making you, you? Not just based on a superficial level, meaning what have you studied, what is your job, what is your profession, what is your title, none of that. Meaning, what are the values that you are keeping inside of yourself? Okay? So, and I just realized that the martial art is one way out of probably many others existing, but I can only talk about the martial art, and it helped me to ask the right questions concerning myself, finding my weaknesses, trying to get to methods in order to, let's say, strengthen my mind, strengthen my body. And all of this, putting it together, I just think it's useful for the people to know that something like this, this type of perspective about yourself, the perspective that you can use the body to get deeper into the layers of what also is making you, you. I think this is very, very valuable information, especially just regarding the fact that if you look out in the world right now, it's easy to get dissatisfied. It's easy to get frightened. It's easy to become fearful. It's easy to lose hope. It's easy to lose perspective. It's easy to get lost. And this is why I think, and this is why I still continue, even after all the hype on the social media, I still decide the haters can come, it's not a problem. But I know there are people out there that get the message I'm sending out, and this is very simple. We are at the moment in a cycle of life where everybody, if you're just a little bit aware, you can feel something is shifting. Some people are not willing to maybe adapt to the change. Some people are not strong enough to adapt to the change. Some people don't know how to put it into practice in order to go with the change. It is my perspective. There will come the time, and it's not going to take long, where a natural separation is going to take place, a natural separation. The ones that are able to read the signs, that are able to go with what is happening, to adapt to the changes this world is bringing to us, they will move on to another world. They will move on to another area, to another cycle of us humans being right now here on the earth. And other people that are unwilling, unable, maybe incapable of adapting to the coming changes, it is simple like this. They will stay with the old world, which is about to end. That's the message. That's all what this is about. An old era is about to come to an end. A new era is about to come. This is worldwide happening. It's happening inside our monastery. It's happening inside of me. You know, there is good to have like the Buddhist teachings, you know, as a place of when you are out of question or when you don't know what to do anymore. There is good to have the old teachings from the old teachers, you know, to remind you a little bit. You read more about compassion and these things. So that means this is where I think, and also mentioned before, the force is the same. The power is the same. The methods, how to create fire, you know, increasing your breathing rhythm, the capacity, regulating, for example, the methods are the same. So the energy is available. But the big difference is, what is the foundation in which this fire is being used? And if the foundation is not based on virtues, is not based on value, then the same force, the same energy is getting into a dark direction. It's getting into a destructive direction. You're going to meet Lord Vader, this one. The force is the same. The values, the principles are different. Okay, and this is why I think it is such an important aspect that within this field where we are finding ourselves, you need virtues. You need a guideline. And optimally based on compassion. Because that's the breaker for everything. Without that one, yeah, because it's either it's compassion or you are separated individual. Separated individual has a very high sense of self, I don't know how I would say, of self-centeredness. And self-centeredness is what is causing problems in this world. The sense of belongingness is not the root for causing conflicts. It's this one.
I wish that was a message that the whole world could hear. That's fantastic.
You want to make the world hear it.
I hope so. I hope so.
Thank you so much for watching the video. This, to me, is a feeling that I have as well. There is a new change coming, a new paradigm. Something is changing, and I think we all can feel it. There's been too many things that have happened for us not to have an awakening globally. Like, I feel like globally people are starting to wake up, they're starting to see things for what they are and realize that we are conscious beings and it's time for some kind of change. And I do genuinely believe that. So it was a wonderful conversation to have.
was just after Christmas that Jeff Clarkson did a concert in up at Matakana, and that's a bit of it from the whole concert. There's a track called In the Garden. This is Pam Gregory, and she's talking about the full moon in Leo, which is on January the 25th.
Hi everyone, Pam Gregory, astrologer. I'm going to be speaking to you today about the second half of January and the full moon that we have coming up in Leo on the 25th. But I'm also, as we go through, going to be talking more broadly about longer term trends this year, because things that are being initiated in the second half of this month of January are going to, well, Pluto, for instance, moving into or re-entering Aquarius is going to run for 21 years. So, and I'm going to be talking more about that as we go through. So, stepping into some very strong energy. I mean, really, all through 2024, the energy is very strong, but it's going to shift in significant ways month by month. Remember that Mars is still what is called technically out of bounds. And what that means is when a planet strays beyond the normal 23 degrees of latitude north or south of the ecliptic, it is called out of bounds. And it tends to, its symbolism tends to operate in a more extreme or more out of control way. Well, with Mars, Mars in myth is god of war. And it's going to stay out of bounds until the 23rd of January. So are we hearing war drums beating across the world? Well, we certainly are. We're very aware of some real horrors of war happening at this time. And so stay in peace. Stay in peace. Bring yourself back to peace, because I know many of us feel absolute horror at the horror that's going on, and it's unimaginable. But if we stay in that, it doesn't actually help the people on the ground. It doesn't help us. It doesn't help the people on the ground. And if we can't be there in practical ways, and it's very hard to get aid delivered to people in war zones, it's very dangerous. It's very hard. Aid is often blocked. If we can't send money via a reliable charity that will get the money to the people, the other thing we can do, which is very powerful, is to work energetically, to stay in a high frequency, work energetically. Please look at the work of Lynn McTaggart. She is an absolute queen, absolute genius at this. And if you look at her book, The Intention Experiment, which is an old book now, really, but a brilliant book, because she's very strict about scientific method. And when she wrote it, there was also another war. They seem to be endless going on in the Middle East. And she set up a meditation experiment over a period of time. She also had a control area, and she significantly reduced the violence in that area over the period of time that people were meditating. She's doing something very similar right now. So if you want to get involved in that effort, check out Lynn McTaggart. This is the kind of thing we can do when we can't be there on the ground that actually is positive and helpful. Her work is extraordinary in terms of setting intention, focus, and using meditation to change the energy of an area. And Dr. Joe Dispenza, this is very much his work as well. So just please consider those things. If you want to do something that is really measurable, as Lynn's work tends to be, that's a very good thing to consider. And it's something that I'm very much doing on a daily basis as well. So Mars will stay out of bounds until the 23rd of January. And we also have two huge things, as well as the full moon in Leo, we have two huge things happening in the second half involving Uranus and Pluto. Uranus has an 84-year orbit and Pluto has a 248-year orbit. And the further out the planets orbit, the longer their orbits, the greater importance they have in astrology. You know, Sun, Moon, Mercury can whiz around pretty quickly, but when we get shifts at these outer planets, it's a collective shift. We feel it collectively, but we also feel it very strongly individually, and these shifts can be life-changing. A lot of us are going to have a lot of life-changing in 2024. So as I've said in my themes for 2024 and elsewhere, 2024 is going to be a year of continuing shifts, quantum leaps, not gradual, not linear, but quantum leaps in our consciousness as we move through. And it's absolutely not going to be the same old, same old. The energy is very different from the last 3 years, 4 years, very different from really anything we've lived through. It is a year, it's a pivot point year. And as we end 2024, we're going to look back and think, gosh, things are never going to be the same again. And I mean that in a very positive way as well. This is a unique evolutionary opportunity, and we are really going to feel that and get more information about the cosmology, more information about the physics, more information in many ways about our own personal spiritual experiences, about how this is working. And obviously, we're going to be talking about that as we move through the year. But think of it, you know, if you had to think of one simple thing, bring yourself back to this mantra of I'm welcoming in an expanded consciousness of love. Anytime you feel overwhelmed, you feel confused, I'm welcoming in an expanded consciousness of love, because that's what this year is about. It's an expansion of our consciousness, and it's getting us in touch with our multidimensionality in a much clearer, bigger way. Our multidimensionality in terms of our sense of oneness, our sense of interconnectedness with all living beings, animals, trees, birds, plants, mosses, slugs, snails, everything. We're going to have a much greater sense of being in that flow of interconnectedness with everything being alive, and we just being part of that flow. So really that sense of expansion, that sense of heart expansion and love is a very important context for 2024. And remember that I did a whole video on this. We do have very unstable geomagnetics right now. As I've talked about many times, we're in solar cycle 25. These solar cycles each last for 11 years. And the peak of this particular solar cycle has been pulled back in time to 2024, the year we're in now. So we are going to see a lot of solar activity. And at times that can feel destabilizing because there's so much new information coming at us from the far galaxy. But remember that this new information, they are ingredients for our evolution. And it's happening quickly. So please see it in that context. Don't just see it as, you know, oh my goodness, now I can't sleep, or now I can't stay awake, whichever end of that you're on. And I've been on both ends of that, and I know many of you have, or aches and pains or tinnitus or whatever. See it as I'm welcoming in these new ingredients for my evolution, because they are going to take me to a place I've never been before in my consciousness. But it's remarkable to think that the change is happening in deep space, because the whole cosmos is one consciousness, affects every single cell in our body. It is just one flow, and we are just one fractal of the cosmos experiencing that. So I think that's a good way to think of it, and to stop us thinking that we are being separate victims kicked about by very unusual energies. Think of yourself as a fractal of the cosmos. It's oneness. We are one consciousness. We are in the flow. So moving into some of the detail of the second half of January, we have on the 18th, we have a couple of very positive aspects involving Jupiter. We have the moon conjunct Jupiter on the 18th and Mercury trine to Jupiter at 6 degrees of Capricorn Taurus. And again, this is expansive. This is big thinking. This is optimism. This is bigger future visions. This is new possibilities that we've never been able to imagine before. But it's also going to be grounded, because they're both in Earth. What can we envisage? What out-of-the-box genius ideas can we have? And this comes in strongly with the Uranus aspect in a few days' time, that can bring in possibilities that we never imagined before. Think of it in that way. But it's a sense of, boy, we've got this big new vista, this huge new consciousness as new modelling clay for us to create our reality with, our future with. Then we have a very big day on the 20th of January, a very big day, because we have the sun coming together with Pluto at the very last minute of Capricorn, 29 degrees, 59 minutes of Capricorn. It's almost like an exclamation mark that it couldn't be louder on that very last degree. And then within a few hours on the 20th, they both tip together into, virtually together, into Aquarius. Very different energy. We did have Pluto moving into Aquarius for 3 months last year from March, but that was just a taster. It's going to spend 9 months this year in Aquarius. It's only going to dart back into Capricorn from the 2nd of September to the 19th of November, and then move fully into Aquarius for another 20 years from that point. So 20th of January is not a one-day wonder. It is absolutely the beginning of a 21-year transit. And that's going to run for many of us for the rest of our lives. That's why this is such a big deal. And the energy will be very different. I'll put my Pluto in Aquarius video below here that I made last year before Pluto was going to enter Aquarius in March 2023. The themes are very clear. You know, think French Revolution, think American Revolution. This is going to really expand the revolutionary energy, but also the collective of the people, because this is going to begin a gradual, it's not going to be a day, a week, a month, a gradual shift of power back to the people. Look at what's happening in Germany in the last few days with the German farmers. Whatever you think about that protest, it is people coming together and saying, no, we are not going along with the government policies. We're going to stand our ground. Whatever you think about the politics of the protest, just see it in a bigger picture. Try not drop into polarity of right, left, blue, red, all of that old 3D stuff, because that isn't going to get us anywhere. Try and see the bigger picture of what is the purpose of our evolution at this time, because Pluto moving into Aquarius is a very big part, a very purposeful part of our evolution as humanity. So something may happen round about the 20th, somewhere in the second half of this month, that could be very significant. When Pluto has a very complex process, but one of the ways it works, when it moves into a sign and for the period it is in a sign, it usually reveals corruption around the symbolism of that sign, hidden secrets, that kind of thing. And so when it moved into Capricorn in 2008, we had the financial crisis, because Capricorn represents big business, banks, wealth, stock markets, that kind of thing. We all know in 2008, we had the financial crisis. Everybody knows that. So with it moving into Aquarius, there could be a crisis. It doesn't have to happen in January. It could be a few months down the road, but it's going to initiate the revelation of corruption around science. It'd be very interesting. And around technology, it could reveal any kind of hidden agendas around galactic beings, all the things really that Aquarius is connected with, free energy, a lot of technology that may have not been available to the public, let's put it that way. So, and what Pluto is also doing is reigniting a very important, what was called the grand conjunction of Jupiter and Saturn on the 21st of December 2020, which was the Capricorn solstice, which that great conjunction began a new 800-year cycle. And the first roughly 200 years of that, the reliable repeating conjunction of Jupiter and Saturn will happen in air signs. It started to happen at zero of Aquarius, December 2020. It will repeat in earth signs for, it won't be quite 200 years, shorter time, but it sets up a new social, economic, and political, what I want to call zeitgeist, backdrop, urge, energy to reconstruct society, economics, political structure. And that is a very, very clear message of Pluto moving out of Capricorn into Aquarius, from top-down structures moving towards the creation of horizontal structures, communities, collaborations, ordinary people coming together. I've talked about this repeatedly, happening all over the world. And it's embryonic, yep, but it's the beginning. And I can see this happening all over. I'm involved in a group that's doing that. So it's very tangible. So also, though, with Pluto being at that final degree, what is known as the anoretic degree, the 29th degree of a sign, tends to express in the shadow expression of the symbolism of that sign. So that means that issues around top-down control and power may get louder, but more hollow. Louder because there is a great urge to hang on to the status quo and the power structure that has existed, Capricorn. And that may be particularly strong around January, September, October, November, while Pluto is right on that anoretic degree. However, it is going to be hovering, really, end of Capricorn, beginning of Aquarius, end of Capricorn, beginning of Aquarius, all of this year. End of the old, beginning of the new. End of the old, beginning of the new. So there is no doubt this year is going to be a massive year of change. Absolutely no doubt. So be aware of that. And when I say it may get louder, I think there will be greater attempts to hold the status quo, louder attempts. But we all can kind of sense they're more hollow. We know, we can feel in the energy that it is moving towards a whole new society, a whole new future. And that's where the astrological energy is going. That's where the life force energy is going. So look at areas of science and technology and be alert to what is happening there. Now, there's going to be a long-term dance also between Sedna, dwarf planet Sedna, with another 11,400-year orbit, and its trine to Pluto. Pluto at the end of Capricorn. And even when Pluto moves, tips into Aquarius, it's still going to be quite a tight out-of-sign trine. And that's going to run all of this year and a lot of next year. Both planets, as I've spoken before, are about transformation, even metamorphosis. And we're going to see that in the financial area, Taurus. We're going to see it in the communications area. In many, many ways, new inventions, new technology is going to go at great speed. And that could be particularly accelerated around April and May, which I'll get into closer to that time. Or check out the video I did with Kathy Rose for more information on that. It's also very much about letting go of old means of security, because remember, Sedna's fingers were chopped off by her father when she was trying to climb back into the canoe to save herself. The canoe was her only means in her old context of hanging on to security to save her life. And I'm certainly not saying here we're all going to die at all. We're going to thrive, actually, in many ways. But it's letting go of what we have perceived as old methods of safety, old means of safety and security, because they are going to change radically. So that's going to be actually quite exciting as well. And I also want to say, make the decision to thrive. Make the decision to thrive and be joyful. That is so important. You know, firstly, it's not a dress rehearsal. We have to be joyful in our lives, because it's so easy to be in fear and anxiety and gloom and doom. But that isn't helping us. And as I said earlier, it isn't helping anyone who is struggling. So, and it may feel that you're being selfish and self-indulgent to feel joy, but that is one of the best things you can do. And again, just to remind you, I set up, this isn't an original idea at all. People are doing it all over the world. This very simple meditation, 7 p.m. UK time on a Sunday evening for 15 minutes. That's 2 p.m. Eastern, and you can work out your various local time zones. And I just suggested to people coming together for 15 minutes, no Zoom links, no notifications, no admin. You just step into the energy. You join energetically. You step into that energy. Those of you listening to this are what I call a family of frequency, or broadly on the same frequency. Step into that. Imagine we're holding hands around the earth and dream in your vision of new earth. Now, all I'd suggest to you is that you stay in these high frequency emotions through those 15 minutes of love, joy, gratitude, peace, compassion, and freedom. I'd like you to add freedom into the mix, because freedom and human rights are going to be big issues this year. Imagine that you're stepping into your light body. Imagine that you're levitating. Imagine that you're flying, but have that sense of being utterly unencumbered, not constrained in any way. And you set a clear intention that this is for your highest good and for the highest good of all. Always set that intention. If you're doing anything in a group, I set that intention for every video I ever film, and important interactions or meetings or whatever. Let this be for my highest good, but also the highest good of all. And then it actually boomerangs back to you too. But that is one of the best things you can do to help raise the collective and change the quantum wave structure for everyone. Now, you may have heard me say this, but people are having some beautiful experiences. Several people have reported back to me an identical experience of when they imagine that we're holding hands across the earth, and some people may be putting in animals in the circle, other people from war zones, whatever you feel you want to uplift. They start to see a vortex of energy spinning, and it's like Sufi dancers spinning. And that, I'm going really goosebumpy now, that spinning becomes light. It's like a circle of light that's spinning and spinning and gaining power and gaining power. And that light becomes bigger and brighter and spreads across the earth. And that's really amazing that so many people in different geographies were reporting that same vision to me that they were experiencing in that 15-minute meditation. Every week we do this, the energy is becoming stronger. Recognize that for free, sitting on our sofas at home, we are building a life force, a force field, a force field of light and of love that has to manifest by the laws of physics. It has to manifest in the world. Look at how powerful we are. That has to manifest, and it may manifest in tiny ways in your own reality, but nevertheless, we are still helping the collective, because you cannot ever remove yourself. We are all one consciousness. You can't take yourself out of the collective. So that's really important. So decide to thrive. Decide to feel joy every day. Decide to laugh every day. I mean, we laugh so much as children generally. How often do we laugh as adults? You know, so really find ways that you can do that. Think very much with this Sun-Pluto conjunction, because this is a huge theme, as you know, in 2024. Where does the power lie? Kathy Rose in our video talked about where does your locus of power lie, is it external or internal? I see it as, are you living from the outside in or the inside out or the outside in? Set a clear intention that you will always live from the inside out, because that's when you're living in your power. You're not scattering it by deferring to external authorities, as many of us have done for all of our lives. So then, and I want to talk about this before we look at the full moon, because these are so huge. So within a week, within 7 days of Pluto re-entering Aquarius, and astrologers are going to be talking about this for the next 21 years, so lots more to come with this. Within 7 days, Uranus, the ruler of Aquarius, becomes stationary direct. This is the last planet to move direct. They are then in a forward momentum. Mercury moves retrograde for 3 weeks in April, but beyond that, the other planets are all moving direct until June, when Pluto moves retrograde again. So that is really going to create this feeling of forward movement. Now, Uranus is barely moving this month. It's barely moving, you know, a few minutes each day. So it becomes stationary direct on the 27th of January at 19 degrees 05 of Taurus. If you have anything in the fixed signs, Taurus, Leo, Scorpio, Aquarius, somewhere between 18 and 21, 22 degrees of those signs, you are going to be feeling this kind of restlessness, this urgency, this stirring, this need for newness, this need for variety. This is Uranus transit signal what you have already outgrown. So see where 19 of Taurus is falling in your chart. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you can download a free birth chart from my website, go to the link below and buy a two-part video series that will take you from zero to explain to you how you find these points in your chart and what these updates mean for you individually. This is not an individual birth reading, birth analysis. These are teaching videos to teach you how to do it. And it's actually the beginning of your astrological journey. So this is going to be very powerful. So we're going to feel that station of Uranus at least a week to either side. So the forward motion of Pluto is going to coincide with us starting to feel that Uranian energy. Now, Uranus and Aquarius, the sign it rules, are going to be very strong this year. So whether I'm just talking about the planet or whether I'm talking about the sign, it's really all the same thing. But round about the 27th, give or take a week or two, we could see more seismic activity, big earth, extreme earth events. I think there are going to be many of those this year. We could see either literal earthquakes, political earthquakes, financial, economic earthquakes. We are going to be learning a lot about electromagnetism this year, because Uranus and Aquarius are linked to electromagnetism, both natural electromagnetism. We are electromagnetic beings living in a massive electromagnetic soup. But of course, with all of our modern technology, increasingly there is also unnatural electromagnetic waves, EMFs. We're very familiar with those, and we have all kinds of means of dealing with them. But they are becoming a bigger part of the soup, of the electromagnetic soup. So the issues around those that come to light, aviation, power outages, cyber attacks, all of that kind of thing, shocks, surprises, truths coming to light, galactic beings, galactic news, all of those things are possibilities going forwards. The energy is going to be very volatile all of this year. I've said this many times, because we have so much more high frequency light coming in that is stirring up the old dusty, murky cockroaches in the corner, low vibration energy. and it will dissolve, it will crumble, it will crack. But there's going to be volatility at every level, because what is coming in at the high energetic level, the invisible level, affects the earth, affects us as individuals in every cell. So we're going to see whether it's energetic, whether it's major earth events, whether it's political, economic, biological. There's a whole kind of stepladder of volatility. So again, stay in peace. Find your anchor. Kathy Rose, again, talked a lot about this. Find your anchor. Find your default method, whether it's breath work, candle gazing, being in nature, listening to sacred music, whatever it is, within seconds, you can just whoomp. Okay, I'm now butter melting in the sun. I've brought myself back to coherence, my center, my anchor. You're going to need that this year. So get into practice with a very free, simple way of doing that very quickly for yourself. Whenever I wake up in the morning, I say, I'm living in love, peace, and bliss. I'm living in love, peace, and bliss. And that sets up my tone for the day. I keep rolling that mantra around my head as well. So just one more thing before we look at the chart for the full moon. We do have Mars here, square to the nodal axis and also square to Chiron. We're going to see this in a moment. And this is really going to ignite issues around victim consciousness. Chiron in Aries, the wound is in the I am-ness, you know, the sense of individuality and sovereignty. So a lot of this full moon is around those issues too. And you'll see that in a moment. So let us look at the chart for the full moon. The reason I wanted to set up the bigger context of Pluto transit and the Uranus transit is the full moon is within those massive energies, because the full moon we will feel for a couple of weeks either side, but we have got these massive shifts happening behind the scenes. I think they'll be very much in the foreground. They are the planetary context for the full moon. And that's why I wanted to set those up first. So again, as always, I set this up for England. This is where I live. Ignore the clock face, ignore the houses, because they will, unless you live in England, this won't be relevant for your geography. So we're just going to be looking at where the planets fall and their relationship to each other. So this is a full moon. It's happening on the 25th of January. It's happening at 9:53 a.m. Pacific and 5:53 p.m. UK time. A full moon, see where this falls in your chart. This is happening at, it's one in a whole series of full moons at 5 degrees. This is at 5 degrees, 14 of Leo. So see where this falls in your chart. What is this bringing to closure, culmination, completion for you in that area of your life? It had, you know, the way to pin it down in your life and start to track meaning in your life is to see which house it falls in your life. So Leo is, first of all, heart energy. It's the sign most connected to the heart. And at any full moon, you have the sun and moon opposite each other, which we do here, sun in Aquarius and moon in Leo. So this is really about the balance of the head, higher mind, Aquarius, and the heart, balancing the head and the heart. And this really takes me back to what I was saying about the breath, because heart math have this beautiful heart coherence breath. I learned it through yoga, actually, decades ago, that you just shut your eyes, imagine that you're breathing in and out through the heart. Just let the breath slow and deepen. And what you're actually doing is creating coherence in your heart's toroidal field. And once you create coherence in your heart's toroidal field, your heart's toroidal field expands. And because your heart sends more information to the brain than the brain does in the heart, that helps the mind's coherence to come into play as well. So the heart and mind start to come into coherence, into balance. And that's when you can really optimize your health, but infect others more fully with your energy, with your coherent energy. I think one of the reasons those very simple meditations on a Sunday evening are working so well is we are coming together with a coherent family of frequency energy. And whenever you are kind of on the same wavelength with people of like mind, whether it's online or in person, a coherence starts to form in your energy field. And that's very important for the energy to build positively. Because think of the waves coming into the beach. They're all coming in from the same direction. They're coherent. If there were waves coming in from a different direction at the same time, they'd kind of be a jumble. They'd almost like interference on a television set. There'd be an incoherent. It would clash with the waves coming in a very rhythmic, predictable way. So that's really what coherence is. So check out, if you're not doing it already, Heart Math Institute, or just literally do it as I've described. So it's heart energy. Leo is the sign of the king. It's the sign of sovereignty, one of the signs most linked to sovereignty. So are you a leader in your own life? Can you honestly say, yep, I'm a leader in my own life? I stand strong in my sovereignty. That isn't aggressive in any way or assertive. I just operate from my center. I know who I am. And I know that is a powerful place to be as a co-creator. So it's a kind of spiritual sovereignty that's happening here, if you like. Now, what's interesting, if you can just see a little dwarf planet squeezed in here, Varuna. Varuna is at 7 degrees of Leo, so conjunct this moon. Varuna, I believe, was a Hindu god, god of the cosmic waters, so ruling over the cosmic waters. And many of the dwarf planets have this very powerful moral compass. You have to be in your integrity, and you have to be in your truth. And that's very much Leo as well, authenticity, integrity. Very much about bringing justice where people have lied and bringing arrogance down to earth. I think that's really interesting, but very linked to the oceans and the waters. And that also links, I'm going to talk about another dwarf planet which links right now, which is Gong Kun, spelt Gong Gong, but pronounced Gong Kun. Almost 5 degrees of Pisces, conjunct Pisces here. Now, Gong Kun was a Chinese water god, again, water. And when he was very angry that he didn't win the throne. So in the myth, he said to hit his head against the Buzu Mountains. And that was actually said to cause some kind of fracturing in the heavens, which caused a different trajectory in the sun, the moon, stars and the planets. And so he is also very connected to flooding and but ultimately, so Alan Clay feels at this time with the conjunction to Saturn. I'm interviewing Alan Clay in early February to get more information about this because he's done so much incredible research into these dwarf planets. He runs the Dwarf Planet University, as many of you know. He sees Gong Kun not only is related to flooding, but also that Gong Kun became a master irrigator of those floods, but also he sees Gong Kun as being a channeler of the many psychic and cosmic energies coming onto our earth. Now, this can give a feeling of overwhelm, and Alan Clay talks about this conjunction as possibly overwhelm and restriction, Saturn in some way, but remember that Gong Kun ultimately became a master of irrigation. Whether we're talking about flooding here, whether we're talking about the overwhelm of emotion, whether we're talking about the psychic and cosmic energies feeling overwhelming, Gong Kun can help us. And Philip Sedgwick, another brilliant astrological researcher, also in linking to the myth, that kind of bashing head on mountains, talks about a different angle on what we're experiencing with the energy. you know, there was a shift, there was a fracturing in the heavens, but, you know, it's almost like the tilting of the head. Can we look at these energies coming in? You know, it's almost like you quizzically tilt your head in a very different way to stop feeling overwhelmed by them, as I said much earlier, and start to welcome them in. Because when we stop the resistance and the feeling of I'm in victim, I'm overwhelmed, I can't cope with them, but welcoming them in as your cake ingredients for your evolution, then there's a much easier sense of flow and assimilation. I hope I'm making sense here, because I'm kind of trying to cover a lot of ground in a short time. Okay. Really big aspect here is we have a fixed grand cross between sun here, the moon. We also have Jupiter at 6 degrees of Taurus. So we have 5 degrees of Aquarius, 5 degrees of Leo, 6 degrees of Taurus, opposing Haumea at 2 degrees of Scorpio. Fixed grand cross. And a fixed grand cross can have enormous determination, enormous grit to see things through. And that's how really I think we'll be experiencing this. Now, Jupiter forming a T-square to the full moon is going to magnify and blow up anything which we are going to be experiencing at this time. I think it could well be some big earth event, some big seismic event, something like that, because of it being so close to the Uranus station and so close to Pluto just having moved into Aquarius, and also the fact that Jupiter is in Earth. So we could see some big, big event happening in that way. But remember, this is part of forming new Earth. Haumea is one of our strongest archetypes for new Earth. And I've talked about her many times, but just to remind you, she has very various aspects to her symbolism. One aspect of her symbolism is that she's an incredibly strong regenerative symbol. She's connected to the Hawaiian goddess of fertility. She was able to birth babies from all over her body, not just the normal place. She was able to turn her age back from an old crone to a young maiden. She is very shamanically connected to the earth, so she can produce wild food from apparently sterile land and wild food from the sea. She also has a strong connection to community. There's an aspect of her symbolism where she overcame the authoritarian ruler on the island who was going to put her husband to death for taking wild bananas by bringing the community and her spiritual help together and actually overcome the authoritarian ruler and his army. So there's a very strong, almost Aquarian, you know, bringing together the ordinary people from the grassroots up to overcome in that shift of power. But the other aspect of her symbolism is that she was said in her fire goddess expression to have created the islands of Hawaii. From the sea, they rose up and created new land. Think of the symbolism of Uranus in Taurus, new land, literally. Haumea very much is reinforcing that symbolism. So not only at this full moon, but moving through this year, I actually expect with the various Earth events we're going to have, because the Earth is going through its major upgrade, major evolution too, that some parts of land may fall into the sea and other parts may emerge as new Earth, new land, which could, of course, be incredibly fertile because they've been under the sea and all kinds of wonderful algae and nutrition under the sea that they could bring up above the surface. So, you know, I just think we're going to see a lot going on. Haumea is excellent for cleaning up toxicity in Scorpio, toxicity in the waters as well, toxicity of our bodies. But also, she's very linked, I believe, to regenerative medicine in her symbolism as well. And I've talked about that in the past. So this fixed grand cross, Jupiter, Moon, Haumea, Sun, super powerful. Also, the Sun still conjunct Pluto here, as I said, it was exactly conjunct on the 20th, being opposed to the Moon in Leo. Leo, I think, you know, Leo is the classic sign of being center stage. You know, I've arrived, we can start now. It's the kind of cosmic joke for Leo. So it's very connected to the acting world or to people of prominence, people in the limelight, let's say, with Leo. So interesting with the developments many of you are aware of right now, it could be that secrets come to light, Pluto, aspecting both the Sun and the Moon here, secrets come to light regarding people of prominence, as well as secrets coming to light, as I said earlier, related to science and technology just beginning to emerge. We've got a long way to go, guys, 21 years. So that's part of this full moon as well, shining a light brightly on what we didn't know before. We also have Mercury and Mars conjunct tightly. This is very good for quick mind, quick thinking. It's also in Capricorn very good for also strategic and long-term thinking as well. And but just be don't quick too quick off the mark, because it can be sharp words, you know, a bit of temporal spat or sharp words. Take a breath, particularly on social media, I would say, take a breath before you speak. They are trine to Uranus, so this can be brilliant, not only long-term strategic thinking, Capricorn, but brilliant, out of the box, original, genius thinking around issues of growing food and financial aspects as well. Both Capricorn and Taurus are linked to financial aspects. And actually, Venus in a sesqui quadrate, 135 degree aspect to Uranus, is also suggesting some volatility around finances, some change, some increased development with digitization. Currencies will increasingly this year become digital. I think we're all aware of that. We need to diversify and, I believe, keep cash as well. But the digitization, remember, the direction of travel has to be decentralized. That is the symbolism of Aquarius, decentralized. Please be aware of that with all that's happening. So also, I just want to say with things like food, you know, if we do have any extreme earth events, and they're good, expect the unexpected. It's going to be a very unpredictable and unexpected year. But just do something really simple, like grow microgreens on your windowsill. If you live in an apartment or a flat, grow microgreens. They are incredibly nutrient dense. And if you don't have a garden, you've got no land to grow in, they will really help to see you through if there's any slight intermission on the internet or whatever. Just do that as a very good fallback, and just do it for your own health, actually, because they're incredibly nutritious. Just to remind you, Ixion, another dwarf planet that I love, at 5 degrees of Capricorn. Remember, these dwarf planets have round about a 300-year orbit, apart from Sedna, which has an 11,400-year orbit. This is conjunct Venus here. So, again, to quote Alan Clay's words, that Ixion is the wild child that asks the question, are the rules we are playing by the right ones? I love that. Going to congratulate Alan on that when I speak to him in early February, particularly in Capricorn, this old top-down structure. Are they now the right rules to play by? And we do it with love, Venus. We move forwards with love, always. That is going to be our absolute guideline this year. Everything with love, everything from the heart, everything from our spiritual sovereignty, living from the inside out, not the outside in. So this could be quite dramatic. Leo loves drama. This could be quite a dramatic time. the second half, I think, I can't see how it won't be dramatic, actually, with the Pluto transit and the Uranus transit. And then we are moving into a really, what I want to call an electric month in February. Electric in many different ways. And so, yes, just really want to say, have those simple practices in place, whether it's your candle gazing, your breath work, listening to sacred music, being in nature, listening to birdsong, whatever it is, have that very simple practice in place that within seconds you can drop in to your center, your anchor, your stillness, your zero point, your state of peace, and have that now, whatever it is. And Kathy talked about ways of doing this. I've talked about many ways of doing this. So for free at home, you can do that. And just know what a difference we can make in the world. Once we start to step into that spiritual sovereignty, we live from the inside out. We come together with other like-minded beings, even if it's online, doesn't have to be in person, and how we can change the world. So powerful. So, and just feel that sense of humanity coming together. Lynn Bell, who's a brilliant astrologer, I think has used the phrase humanity, arise humanity. I love that. That's what we're doing. That's absolutely what we are in the process of doing this year. And we are creating those higher and higher timelines, yes, with the help of the benevolent galactics too, but also our own efforts at raising our own consciousness. So I'd really like to close with a brilliant quote, I think, from the visionary Martin Luther King, you know, be the change that you want to see in the world. I mean, that was a quote from Gandhi, but this quote I'm going to share with you from Martin Luther King. And he had obviously so many incredible challenges in the culture he was growing up in, but he kept rising above those. You know, he did not relent. He kept stepping into his own sovereignty. And this is a quote from him. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. And with those very heartfelt words, I feel quite emotional. Thank you so much for listening. We are on the ride of our lives at the moment, guys. And thank you for being with me on this journey. I think we have a stronger and stronger sense of connection and a stronger and stronger sense of our multidimensionality, our remembrance of old gifts and skills that we had way back, maybe in Lemurian times, that are being reignited right now. And look for that, sense that, step into that as you welcome in your expanded consciousness of love. God bless. Thank you so much for listening. Bye for now. And I'll be back with you very soon indeed with another video.
Thank you, Pam, for your kind words. Now, I came across this lady who's called Isabella. I believe she's Swedish, but she uses a crystal ball and tarot cards and dice. And she did a prediction for the whole world for 2024. So I've just picked out, because it was like nearly 3 hours long, I've picked out the part that's relevant to us, Australia and New Zealand.
Yeah, the next area I'm going to look into will be Australia, New Zealand, Papua New Guinea, and also the North Pacific Oceans. And here we have a lot of islands. We have New Caledonia, Solomon Islands, we have French Polynesia, Cook Islands, Samoa, and so on. But also Hawaii, Maui, and these places. So I will look into that area. It's a lot of ocean and a lot of islands. So let's see if we can find something here. For Australia and New Zealand and North Pacific. Yeah. What is going on right now in Europe with the farmers' protest and everybody's like joining together now? This will spread to Australia. And in Australia this year, there will be organized big protests around major cities. Three very important politicians will step down due to those crimes they have committed the last 3 years against the people of Australia. It's difficult to wake up a lot of people, but still there will be many changes in Australia, in the consciousness of Australian people. And I see more and more people waking up. Not all of them, but enough. And they want answers. And they want justice. And protests will be organized. Very big protests that cannot be ignored. Could be late summer this year, some kind of military intervention in Australia for the benefit of the people, not the ruling class. Benefit of the people, because they will step in and clean up something in their government. And in Papua New Guinea, there will also be quite a lot of disturbance. Foreign investors that want to take advantage of their country will be kicked out. So also changes are coming on there. A lot of those that have committed crimes the last years in Australia, New Zealand, they will try to escape to some of those little islands that are around this North Pacific Ocean. But they will be tracked down, because even in those islands they have internet and people have some knowledge, yeah, and they can find them and they will report them. A big storm is coming in the north of New Zealand, Auckland, up there. And I see tornadoes, hurricanes, and it's quite serious. Could be February, March, April, somewhere there. And this is to keep the New Zealand people down, not to be able to protest. But it will be very strange storms, so that it's not anything normal. And people will recognize that something is wrong here. They will try to push some kind of shots, but people will say no. No way. What people will find in New Zealand during this year, that the police is like, oh no, we are not doing your biddings anymore. So a lot of police officers will turn against their bosses and stand by the people. And we will be able to see that on different YouTube channels, TikToks and things like that. How the police officers know enough is enough. The truth about the disease from the last 3 years and the so-called cure to this disease will come up in the open this year, and that will be very, very shocking, and that will cause like revolutions everywhere, because they cannot hide it anymore. The evidence is too big on what it has done to the people. And when it comes out, yeah, because it has to come out officially. Some kind of explosion in a big news station. I think it's in New Zealand. I don't get that it is in Australia. Probably New Zealand. All those little islands over here, I don't see them specially attacked as much as they are in other places. I don't see any big happenings. Somewhere here, some bad weather, big waves, but not so much out of the ordinary. Maui will be open up again. And we will know the truth about what happened in Maui this year. Who has been behind whatever happened and why? I see there will be a lot of executions this year. Official execution of very, very evil criminals, pure evil. And people will know why those executions will be taking place. And I don't see especially any object to them. Around French Polynesia, Moorea Island and Adamstown, Pitcairn. Yeah, there are so many little islands here. Very strange behaviors from sea animals. Big gatherings of different sea animals. Behavior that people normally don't see. It's like they are fleeing from something. They want to escape something. Not fleeing. They want to escape from something, yeah. And they will gather around bays and outside islands there. Around in that place, here somewhere, I see like a big vortex in the water. Could be that something is coming up from the water, some very strange vortex, extremely huge. Okay, let's take some cards on this area. Okay, and the cards, they look like this. What do we have here? We have Five of Wands, Three of Swords, Four of Swords, the Fool, and Three of Coins in the tarot card. On the oracle card, we have a man sitting on a chair, nurture yourself, and judge. And then on the dice, we have a snake, a heart, and fire. So, this is mainly for Australia and New Zealand. A lot of the snakes that have been ruling in those two countries will be taken out. We have the Three of Swords above the snakes. And they will be put down, Four of Swords. people will start to wake up, and that will be a quite quick process. A lot of things will happen this year, and people will unite to help each other in the struggle against those snakes. And that will come as a surprise, because they think they have the control, but actually they don't. And it's a fire that can start very, very quickly especially Australia and New Zealand, and will be taken by surprise, and those snakes will be taken by surprise. It looks like, I'm not sure if it's this year or next year, but definitely many court cases, tribunals will come up, and a lot of compensation will be given to people that have been hurt through this corrupt people in charge. And that will go quite quickly. They will try start some bushfires in Australia to take off the focus, but they will not succeed. And the fires in Maui, the fires here, but also the judge, because it will come up what has been going on, and there will be very, very big tribunals about that, and a lot of compensation for the victims will also be given. I'm not 100% sure if everything will happen 2024, but definitely it will start this year. Okay.
Well, it depends if you're what people call a conspiracy theory, but it seems really relevant. As I said before, all this year so far, it's only been a month basically, all these predictions that are coming from all over the world are times of changing, when people are coming together and putting down corruption and what's going on in the world. I'll leave it to you to decide where you stand with all that. I am Barry, it's been The Voice Within. Kakite, Shalom, Namaste, Masalam. May your God go with you.
For more episodes, use the accessmedia.nz app for iOS and Android devices, or subscribe to this podcast via Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Apple Podcasts. This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.